We continue to read in Isaiah 40. A voice says, "Proclaim." And I asked, "What shall I proclaim?" "All mortals are grass. They last no longer than the wild flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the blast of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass may wither, the flower fade, but the word of our God will endure forever. Climb to a mountaintop, you that bring good news to Zion. Raise your voice and shout aloud. You that carry good news to Jerusalem, raise it fearlessly. Say to the cities of Judah, your God is here." And the fulfillment of prophecy in Luke chapter 3. In the 50th year of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, when Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, prince of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, prince of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went all over the Jordan Valley, proclaiming a baptism in token of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, clear a straight path for him. Every ravine shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill leveled. Winding paths shall be straightened, and rough ways made smooth, and all mankind shall see God's deliverance." Crowds of people came out to be baptized by him, and he said to them, "Vipers' brood, who warned you to escape from the wrath that is to come? Prove your repentance by the fruit you bear. Do not begin saying to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' I tell you, God can make children for Abraham out of these very stones. Already the axe is laid to the roots of the tree. And every tree that fails to produce good fruit is cut down and thrown on the fire." Then the people asked him, "What shall we do?" He replied, "Whoever has two shirts must share with him who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." Among those who came to be baptized were tax collectors, and they said to him, "Teacher, what are we to do?" And he told them, "Exact no more than the assessment." Some soldiers also asked him, "And what of us?" To them he said, "No bullying, no blackmail. Make do with your pay." The people were all agog, wondering about John, whether perhaps he was the Messiah. But he spoke out and said to them all, "I baptize you with water, but there is one coming who is mightier than I am. I am not worthy to unfasten the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing shuttle is ready in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn on a fire that can never be put out."
Join in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. Lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. We continue through Advent the theme of singing today with the song of Isaiah in the voice of John the Baptist. I don't know if John the Baptist was a singer of note or otherwise, but there you go. Perhaps you've come across the film The Singer, Not the Song. It appeared sometime in the late 50s, I think, with Dirk Bogarde and John Mills. The story of a priest in Mexico who clashes with the local bandit and ultimately earns the bandit's respect. The bandit admires the priest for his bravery and dedication, even if he had no time for his message. The singer, not the song. With John the Baptist, the things are the other way round. John the singer, in the New Testament, by his own admission, as we have heard, and by the judgment of others, the singer is as nothing. One who comes after an I. You know, in John's Gospel, he himself was the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. Not the singer then, the song. The song of Isaiah, the words with which we began our service. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. I've talked much about Donald Trump in recent weeks. Well, he gets quite a lot of attention without me paying him any more. But the theme of the song is Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is everywhere at the moment, thanks not least to Donald Trump and his divisive words in the week. His words to recognize Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and to seek attention to move the U.S. embassy there. Ever since, there have been protests and clashes and riots on the streets. They continue in places such as Bethlehem, not least. Security Council meetings, concern, anger, hostility across Europe, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and so on. The delicate balance of the last 60 or so years thrown out of kilter in a word, well, a few words. Sometimes things need to be thrown out of kilter. But a Middle East specialist speaking in the week said that if Donald Trump had used slightly different words, if he had said West Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and East Jerusalem will be the capital of a Palestinian state in a two-state solution, well, would have opened up. Words like peace could have been used. But he didn't use those words. Instead, he said, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And when he went on to use words such as peace and the right thing to do, no one was listening anymore. Well, actually, that's not true. Some people were listening. The Prime Minister of Israel was listening. Supporters, white evangelical Christian supporters, mostly in America, were listening. They heard words such as Jerusalem and Israel and 3,000 and they rejoiced. I wonder if Isaiah was listening. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. There's no getting round it. Jerusalem is at the heart of the Bible. The city of David. The place of God's reign. The joy of the whole earth. A city set on a hill, and all the nations shall stream to it. The city from which Israel was sent into exile, the city of 1,000 tears. If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. And what do Jews in all the world say in Auschwitz? In Jerusalem. An idea. Reality. What was it Donald Trump said? He's just recognizing the reality on the ground. At which point, Isaiah's song turns round again. And we're back with the singers. The singers who have sung the song of Jerusalem. The ones who sang it in the chapels of England amongst those dark satanic mills. Who sang it in the killing fields of Europe under Nazis, who still in the mosques of India and Iran. Looking with longing to the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, for it is as holy to Muslims as is Mecca and Medina. And reality gets confused with the idea. When in the United States they rejoice at Trump's actions, the idea of Jerusalem gets confused with the reality on the ground, tested piece of real estate on earth, where the hopes and dreams and aspirations of the world's three great Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, rub up alongside each other and live in uneasy tension. Well, at least it was an uneasy tension until this week. And the idea, not just of Jerusalem, but of Israel, also sung throughout the Bible, gets confused with the reality of the state of Israel on the ground. Donald Trump's words purport to accept the reality on the ground. But Isaiah's song, echoed by John the Baptist, doesn't accept the reality on the ground at all. In fact, no one accepts the reality on the ground. Songs and poems and words of faith are about transforming the reality on the ground. Not accepting it for what it is, but showing it up for what it is as not reality at all, however real it seems in all its pain and its power. The song of Isaiah was first sung in exile. Israel on the ground was the fetid religious swampland by the rivers of Babylon. And when they didn't know if they could sing the Lord's song, Isaiah had a song. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. And the song of Isaiah was sung by John the Baptist when the reality on the ground in his time was the agony of a captive people under the harsh rule of Rome. A voice of one crawling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make paths straight for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made. Crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all peoples. Now, what's the reality on the ground for us? Is it the desert bleakness of a world increasingly divided and fearful of strangers and foreigners? Is it the valley of a shadow of grief you can hardly name, that tears the very fabric of the life you mountain, a problem you can't see round, fills your is with worry. Is it the crooked road of a life that give up to expectations and shows little signs of change? Is it the roughness of a way that leads through depression or addiction or poverty or homelessness? Did you hear this week that only a third of the people made homeless by the Grenfell Tower fire will be in a new home by Christmas? Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all people shall see God. Salvation. That's Isaiah's song. In the voice of John the Baptist, it rings with hope and expectation for the coming of the light of the world. And if we are to sing it, well, as I said last week, we can sing it by faith, for the Lord has already done great things for us. See, John the Baptist stands at the end of things, old things. We stand in the new things brought to us by Christ. We can sing rejoicing at what God has done. We can sing in Advent, still waiting and looking forward. We can still sing, trusting that the reality on the ground has been and is being and will be transformed by the love of God in Christ. And the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of the Lord. We can sing. Please God, it will be sung. Not next year, but now in Jerusalem.